Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
A couple of locations of serious unrest around the world this morning. In the next segment, we're going to focus on both of them. We begin with Syria, and there's some terrifying international consensus on regime change in Syria this morning. To the frequent calls from the United States and Europe for Bashar al-Assad to step down, to condemnation from the Arab League, demands for violence to cease from the Secretary General of the United Nations himself, we can now add the voice of al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri.
If we want freedom, we must be liberated from this regime. If we want justice, we must retaliate against this regime.
That's the al-Qaeda leader speaking in support of the Syrian uprising in a tape released on February 11th over the weekend, and we received it via the Reuters news service. The Arab League has proposed a new peacekeeping mission for Syria. That's the latest development this morning. But you know, when the U.S. and al-Qaeda agree on something, it's a marker for the intensity of the crisis in Syria. Joining us now is Tony Badran, a research fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies right here in New York. Tony, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much.
Irony or opportunism on the part of al-Qaeda, and then we'll move on.
Right. I mean, this is not the first message. The first message actually was delivered back in July, I believe, of last year. And it was actually quite a lame one, too, because Mr. Zawahiri was complaining that that if it were not for the raging war with the new Crusades, he and his brothers would be at your side, meaning the Syrian side today, defending you and so on. Meaning it was more a tacit admission that they were not on the ground in July of 2011. And I believe that this one, despite the brouhaha that's sort of made about it, there is no claim for any of the violence in Syria. There is no real gauge of what actually jihadists, if there are, and I'm sure there are some in Syria, are actually doing in the revolution.
But it's interesting that the rhetoric from al-Qaeda, not unlike the rhetoric from elsewhere in the world, notes the violence but necessarily doesn't take action for a variety of reasons. And the Arab League is trying to counter that with a proposal yet again this morning, a peacekeeping mission for Syria, jointly administered by the Arab League and the United Nations. How would such a thing work? Is this a rhetorical exercise, or is there precedent for something like this?
Well, the precedent isn't very good. When you look at such missions in Kosovo or in the Darfur, and they didn't really, they weren't really effective. In fact, they could be counter-effective. So counterproductive, rather. The thing is, whether this is going to take place or not is actually not clear. Even there, from what I hear, there's actually little enthusiasm for it at the UN Department of Peacekeeping Operations. In the end, this is all, like you said, an academic exercise, because this has to requires the Syrian government's approval, and the Syrian government has already rejected the whole proposal.
So let's look at the lever points here. Russia and China, it's been said, are vetoing resolutions in the United Nations Security Council, largely because they have their own concerns with Muslim insurgencies inside their own company, the Uyghurs in China and in Chechnya for Russia. But perhaps they would be more motivated if this was an all-out effort to get Iran to influence Syria. What do you think?
Well, I don't think that this is really related to their own Muslim insurgencies. I think that as far as Russia is concerned, they have invested way too much. They have made a stake in the survival of the regime, because they calculate that if the regime goes, that essentially their influence in the region will also drop. And on the flip side, they have also calculated that they don't have much to lose from supporting Bashar al-Assad. As you can see, their relations, not even with the United States, have really been affected at all. So I don't think it's a very calculated, cynical move by the Russians to do this. As for the Iranians, I mean, their role has been even worse. They and the Russians are both tactically involved on the ground with the Syrian regime, giving not only money and materiel, but also tactical military advice on how to conduct urban warfare against against the armed insurgency inside Syria. So I don't think there's if the Obama administration still has, and I believe it does, some fantasy about sort of either quote-unquote shaming Russia into dropping its support for the Assad regime or what have you. I think it's going to be thwarted yet again by Russian intransigence. This is not about getting the Russians to come on board. This is about, just as the Russians have picked a side clearly in this war, and they're backing it to the hilt, the United States has to also pick a side and to ensure right. that its own interests are protected and advanced in Syria. And those interests are very clear, and that is the demise of the Assad regime.
Dilemmas everywhere for the international community. Tony Badran is a research fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, speaking to us from New York. Tony, thanks so much.
Thank you.